from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's a time for the podcaster. When the doctor says, "Open up and say ah," I say instead of ah. Because it's time for Sleep With Me podcast to put you to sleep. But this is Scoots here. This is where ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, which just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Sleep With Me was made possible with the hard work of Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful Studios, who did the theme music and edited this episode. Yeah, Jonathan Mann's on our lullabies. You can commission a song from him, song.jonathanmann.net. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer on our artwork. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter. And I want to thank the listener Facebook group, all the moderators over there, Sarah, Jennifer, Julie, Laura, Stacy, and Keith. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you can set aside even your F's. So, like, that was a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, emotions, physical sensations, you know, whether you're out of your routine, your changes in routine, second or third shift, students, upcoming things, whatever's keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off of that. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use these lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, tangents, superfluous dialogue. Is that a thing? I think I do that. I believe I do. Yeah, I believe. You know, there's a lot of songs with I believe, even secular songs with I believe. Also, what's the difference? What's secular and non-secular? You think that, like, I like using that word because I think it makes me sound smart. For seconds, like, until I'm done saying, when I say er. And then it says, well, Scoots is, I don't know if Scoots knows what he's, what secular means. And I say, yeah, but doesn't it sound sweet when I use this secular in relation to song titles, secular song titles for 1,000, Alec. That's what the Jeopardy, that could be, hey anybody on Jeopardy, and we send our, you know, our hearts out to Alec, or Alex, say, okay, do get it, Mr. Trebek, as I've been told to not call him. We're thinking of you, buddy. But I'm also thinking if you're going to do like that could be a Jeopardy question or a thingamajig. Also, how would you feel if I also pitched that to HQ Trivia in addition to Jeopardy? Okay, they hung up on me. Okay, let me get back to the news. So I'm going to send my voice across the deep dark, and I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, all to help you take your mind off of stuff, keep you company. And ideally make this feel like a safe place, to make bedtime feel like a safe place where you can relax, you can unwind, and you can drift off into dreamland. Those are some of my goals. Now, if you're a new listener, here's what to expect. The show starts off with about 4 minutes of business, 4 to 6 minutes to keep the show free and all our archives free. So that way you have over 630-something episodes to choose from. Or to line up consecutively, if you really need like a lot of sleep content, you know, to choose a potpourri of boring lulling stuff. So that's a business starts off the show. Then there's an intro, which is kind of like a beginning opening. I don't know. I guess it is an opening monologue. That should have you sawing logs. I can't believe I never said that. The only opening monologue that'll have you sawing logs, Sleep With Me, the intro part, which is about 12 minutes of me rambling and trying to explain the podcast, to weave a metaphor about something that I was just talking about. I already forgot what I was talking about, so hopefully I'll come up with a new metaphor. Oh, I was talking about... trivia shows. I don't know if that's really a bedtime material or even, I'll try to figure out a good metaphor for that. But so if you're a new listener, beginning is business, first few minutes. Then we have an intro is 12 minutes. give or take. But some listeners fall asleep during the intro. About 10% of listeners skip the intro. And those of you that skip the intro, thanks for checking out the sponsors afterwards or being a patron. And so they skip right to the story part. But the intro is kind of a show within a show. Like I said, what did I say? Monologue about something that rhymes with monologue. Oh, monologue that'll have you sawing logs. Sleep with me. Yeah. No, like, this sounds funny, but it's true. The log is in, the second log is in the wrong place. It just has a feeling. Like, look at this. What did I say? Sleep with me. The monologue that'll have, sleep with me intro. The monologue that'll have you sawing logs. See how there's like a, there's syllables in there wrong. But let me welcome the new listeners. That could be our, like, this is the kind of stuff I have to pay attention to as a sleep podcaster. Yeah, but so here's, so there's the intro. Then tonight it'll be a random kind of story for about 45 minutes, a bedtime story. And after that, there'll be a few minutes of thank yous and good nights. So that's what to expect structure-wise. Yeah, also, if you're new, the only other things you need to know, this is a podcast you don't need to listen to. You can, or you don't need to hear it. I don't know, I guess, is it hearing or listening? Either one are optional. Like, and this, it's true. Like, I've heard from a few listeners, they turn the volume way down. I heard from listeners that listen to it at full volume and anywhere in between. And there's people that listen to a bunch of episodes in a row. There's people that set their sleep timers for 30 minutes. But the one of the requirements is you don't really need to listen or pay attention. Now, you can, because if you're a listener who can't sleep, I'm dedicated. I'll be here to the very end for you. To keep you company in the deep, dark night. But the company I keep usually falls asleep, but they don't need to. Like, so just like if we're at a party and I was talking, like, some people may stay engaged and some people might fall asleep. That seems to be a common thing for me. But I just want to let you know, you don't need to listen. And you also shouldn't feel any pressure to fall asleep. Like I said, like... Here's the thing. Imagine we were playing a board game, a trivia board game, right? And for whatever reason, I guess it'll take me a while to find a legitimate reason. It was like the boring trivia. I don't know. I don't think anyone would sit down to play a boring game. But imagine, at some point when I was like, there was this game called Trivial Pursuit, and it was very popular. And then it had spawned many sequels and things. And it's a trivia board game. I don't know if it's like, I'm not talking about real trivia people, fun trivia you'd play with friends. And I guess I'm trying to develop a metaphor from here. So usually play in teams. So let's say there's, in this imaginary situation, there's me and there's you. We're on the same team, of course. You and I, we're on the same team. And there's also another you that may be more sleepy. And then there's a few other people that listen to the podcast, but not you. You know, you're right, you're closer to my, you know, I'm closer to your ears. But there's other podcast listeners and teams of two. And we start playing this game, and everyone's kind of like playing it and participating to a level of everyone's comfort. But if we get to your turn and you're asleep, we just pass. And, you know, I'm doing my normal rambling unrelated to the results of the game. Like, I guess in my turns, I don't do this because I don't really have any factual rambles. But I'd say, Teddy Roosevelt's favorite horse, you know, Teddy Roosevelt wasn't a rough rider. That was the name of his group, but he actually had invented the quilted saddle, as a matter of fact. And he doesn't get credit for that because it's a made up fact. But, you know, that's like, he didn't actually like to ride rough. He liked to ride soft. He was actually like, he could, I guess technically you could say, Teddy Roosevelt's rough riders rode on rough terrain because of their soft saddles. And someone that knows anything about horseback riding might say, so imagine that in between every question. But because the game's going at a pace that everybody's comfortable with, some people are falling asleep, some people are still playing the game. And maybe there's a meta game that I don't know about that people say, you know, you get 10 points every time Scoots goes on a tangent and starts a word with this letter, or quilted. You say, oh boy, that's 50 points for you, Brad. And so as we play this game, some people are falling asleep. Some people are staying awake. Some people are saying, Scoots, it's not working for me. I'm going to listen to an old episode. And some people are saying, Scoots, I just woke up to go to the bathroom. Glad you're going on a tangent about quilted. Did you say quilted horse things? And I said, yeah, I forgot there were saddles for that 1 second. Yeah, quilted saddles. Rough Riders use them. Oh, it's strange, Scoots, because I'm actually a Teddy Roosevelt historian. You are. Well, you probably know about the quilted saddles then. That's why the Rough Riders could be so ride so rough. Is that irony? I don't know. But it was a soft saddle they had. And then someone would say, well, Scoots, I never heard of a soft saddle. I said, are you sure about that? I've heard of a side saddle. And I said, well, saddle up for this next question because it's worth double points. So that might be the game. And the thing is, even if you're on my team, you could fall asleep whenever you want. And the alternative version of you may already be asleep. And maybe you're getting some ideas of how the other listeners consume the podcast. You say, hey, that person's not even playing the game. They're stuck in traffic listening. And Scoots is kind of chilling them out. And they're also thinking about quilted. They say, I wonder if that is true, that you can only ride rough when you ride soft. Quilted Saddles, tonight's sponsor. We put the cushion on your tushin. Oh boy, sometimes I just accidentally hit gold. When I delve into these, man, you can ride twice as rough now with quilted saddles. And also, I try to quilt my lulls to take your mind off of stuff, to keep you company in the deep dark night, to be your boyfriend, your companion, your boar bae, your boar bud, your boar bro, your boar cuz, your boar sib. I'm here to help because I've been there. Now, this podcast does not work for everybody. I mean, I will posit that you were probably like you both confused and distracted during that little monologue. Maybe it has you song locks. That's good. But give it a few tries. There's tons of reviews, and almost every review says, I had to give it a few tries because it was like bonkers. And he didn't even get to his other inventions, like the kerchiefs that the Rough Riders used to wear. But one day he will. So all I can say is I'm glad you're here. I work very hard because I want to help you fall asleep. So thanks for coming by. And let's get on with the show. And before we get to
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Hey, everybody. It's tonight we're going to do a little bit. It's a trending episode, but we're going to do something a little bit different that we've never done before. And this is kind of based on some great feedback I got from a recent intro. So I don't know if this will become a regular thing or just an occasional thing, but I got some intro when I was talking about the states of matter. And I didn't realize that would be a good title. I already have a title for this one, but are the states of matter united? I guess now I shouldn't be asking these questions because it was my curiosity. And that is oh so cute veil of ignorance I like to wear when I'm roaming around town. And when I say around town, I mean in the thoughts of my brain, where I came up with like wondering about the states of matter. And I heard from three different listeners about this, like interesting stuff. So I said, huh, this could be a good little episode. And so I said, well, how's this going to work? And I said, well, let's do a show called Matter Matters. And then actually I heard from a host and they said, well, you know, we actually already have a show called Matter Matters. And I said, well, geez, where's the show? Where's your show? I haven't heard. They said, oh, it's in your subconscious. It was in your subconscious. So it's good you're acknowledging us because we're ready to bring it to prime time. And I said, oh boy. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce the host of Matter Matters. I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name. Well, thanks, Scoots. It's Morty Matters here. And thanks everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Matter Matters, the show where matter matters. And if you've been a fan of Matter Matters for a long time, you know we're not a counterpoint show. We're not a show about proving people wrong or proving people right. And we're not a show about changing things. We're a show about changing matter and why the states of matter matter. And that's what we've been dedicated to, a show. It's a show about matter, on matter, informed by matter, for lovers of matter, and things interesting to matter matterers. So welcome to another episode of Matter Matters. This is our first big episode. We're going to consider it, you know, even though we've been broadcasting Matter Matters also ever since a certain person was in kindergarten, it turned out that our antenna that we were broadcasting from was disabled, and it was disabled because someone wasn't listening to our broadcasts. The signal was bouncing off of what we believe, or the person believes, is goop, which is not a form of matter, by the way. While we here at Matter Matters do appreciate funny matter jokes, we brought on Drew Ackerman as our guest, and we said, well, if matter matters so much, informing someone about matter matters even more, because matter matters here at Matter Matters. Excuse me, thanks for having me on. I know you're in the middle of my intro, but, you know, I'm kind of I wouldn't say I'm an expert at being repetitive, but I think that may have been one too many Matter Matters. We didn't realize that. It actually does matter, but maybe because we did it four more times, it brings us back to zero. But thanks so much for having me on, and go ahead and finish out my intro. Or I could, I know I didn't fill out my bio, but I was BrainBot Entertainer of the Year 2017 and maybe 16. And yeah, write a newsletter, podcast intro news, which is kind of like Matter Matters. It's podcast intros and things kind of like podcast intros. And it's a newsletter, and it's an internal newsletter, though. Well, that's good, because this is an internal broadcast of a show. Well, actually, it's not. I don't mean to put you on the spot, Morty, but this is going out as a podcast episode, but it doesn't matter. I didn't even do that one on purpose. I can see you rolling your eyes, Mortimer. But I'm really excited to learn more about matter, because I do find it fascinating. And I do have a lot of experience with matter, even though my knowledge of matter may be limited. And I think by maybe you interviewing me, I can't remember which kind of learner I am, auditory or, I think they said I'm a manual learner. Like, I think that's what my teachers used to say. They said, well, you're not an auditory or a visual learner. You're manual. It's manual labor with you. So I think I'm is that a kind of learner, manual learner? Well, we're excited to have you on, Drew, and to really get to know you, and so you can get to know matter better. And we reached out to some of your audience, or they reached out to you, or to us, depending on, you know, where you want to be in the internal personality spectrum. So why don't we start there? Why don't we we get this off? We don't have a theme song, and we don't really have anything, but you know, let's sit down and let's talk matter, because it does matter. Andrew, we heard from Amber, who said is a trained physicist. I may be able to help with the plasma thing. Smiley emoji. Solid is where atoms have low enough energy that they hang out in a rigid lattice where if they don't have to move much. If they get warmer, more energy, the atoms will stay together but move around overall as a liquid. More energy, hotter, and they will bounce around freely as a gas. Atoms bouncing around. And you could definitely squeeze a fish reference in there, Scoots, if you want. Even more energy, and the electrons and the nuclei of the atoms will not even be connected anymore. And will bounce around like a gas, but all separate. And that's why it's the fourth state of matter. There's no relation to the fourth state of matter, though, and plasma goop and sci-fi. So that came in from Amber. So, Scooter, would you like to figure out if you realize any of that? Like, did that help you at all? Well, thanks, Mortimer. Okay, yeah, let's talk about it. Let's talk it out. I like the idea. So a solid is where, like, atoms have low energy and they hang out, like, almost in a rigid lattice. Is a rigid lattice anything like an Afghan, like maybe someone created, like my mom? Well, Scooter, I believe if it was pulled taut, to T-A-U-T, I think that would be a rigid lattice. So I guess here's the thing. Is this too much of a stretch? What if we took a, like, what if we went, to somewhere where it's winter now and we took an Afghan and we dipped it in water. Then we brought it outside at night and laid it out, flat, overnight. And then in the morning, if the temperature was freezing, and we went outside and got the Afghan, what would you think about, would that be interesting? Okay, Scooter, what a metaphor are you trying to draw? Well, that would be a rigid lattice, so it'd save us from having to pull it taut. And also, I guess it would be a trick, because it would be solid, because of the Afghan, and then it would have the water solidified, so then it would be solid water. And I guess I'm reaching a little bit, but, so I guess I'm picturing an Afghan, a frozen Afghan, we wouldn't have to pull taut. So that would be like a rigid lattice, or I guess I could just imagine a lattice work, that people put up to hang like vines from. And both those are solid, right, Scooter? Yeah, I guess so. I guess if they were atoms, though, would they have, like, some sort of, like, instead of being interconnected in a lattice, are they're just slowly moving so slowly that they would be like a lattice, but there would be, like, some sort of invisible bonds between them? You know, Scooter, we're just TV broadcasters that care about matter, so I'm not sure if I could answer that question. Yeah, but that does bring up an interesting question. And I guess one other thing about the image of a lattice, whether it's made of wood or plastic or tin or frozen Afghan, is if leaves fall on it, they're probably not going to go through. So that would be kind of like a solid, I'm just trying to figure out if I totally understand it. I think you had it there, Scooter. I guess like a bit like, yeah, if you were, let's take a Scooter. I think you may be onto something with this frozen Afghan. So the frozen Afghan, let's say it's 7 a.m. now and you're standing it up and the atoms are moving so slowly because they're frozen into a solid. And technically, Scooter, you could get into your existential analysis of the Afghan also being a solid. But let's just use it as a metaphor for now. So the atoms are moving very slowly because there's not a lot of energy there. But if they get warmer and more energy and the atoms start to move around, they will slowly become a liquid, Scooter. So about 10, 11 a.m., slowly that Afghan's going to go from rigid to dripping. Yeah, now it's going to be a soppy mess. And the liquid's going to be, we could either squeeze it out or it could drip out, or it could just kind of, we could just leave it in the driveway and forget about it till garbage day. But if it was for my mom, I couldn't do that. Well, here's what you could do, Scooter, because I just got the weather in from Steve Paulson. And he just said to hang it up on a laundry line because the temperature is going to quickly change. Oh, I can feel it. Thanks, Mortimer. Thanks, Steve Paulson. Good morning. Tell Sal I saw him the other day in a pizza place. I didn't say what's up, but I know a lot of other people did. And also my listeners love when Mark Tamayo was talking to those the bird put its head in the middle of the weather. People thought that was great. Okay, Scooter. By the way, a heat wave is coming, Scooter, by noon and 1 p.m. Especially over this asphalt that the laundry line is hanging. Things are going to be, so can you hang that Afghan up? Oof, I don't know though, because it's kind of, it's very stoppy and warm now. It kind of, when I touch it, you know what I mean? I know it was just there. It was just frozen. You know, I'm just kidding, Mortimer. I'm hanging it up right now and I'm noticing something emanating from it. It's no longer dripping. Well, Scooter, that's because the temperature, which is also energy, the heat is really causing those H2O thing. You just cracked me up, Mortimer. You really are in my brain. But you've got a tough job. Yes, Scooter. But the electrons in the nuclei of the atoms are really bouncing around now. Or just the atoms, I think, Scooter. I'm ahead of myself because you were laughing at me and with me. And it's turning into a gas. The water is turning gaseous, Scooter. You know it is, and it's interesting. And I guess it's returning. Like, how long will it take till this water rains down on somebody? Here's a question, real quick question, Mortimer. Just a back-of-the-pencil math or back-of-the-envelope math. I was like thinking of this for another story, and I was thinking about it from all the cartoons I watched and even some video games I played. And there's a whole idea of weather machines and rain machines and seeding clouds. What if we like got a ton of Afghans wet, like a whole city wet, got wet Afghans, and one per person or more, and hung them up in the backyard at the same time on a warm day, would that cause it to rain? Okay, Scooter, I'm consulting my, and they said on a cartoon it would. Actually, if it was a cartoon plot, that would be a solution, or to a story you're writing, that would be in character. Scientifically, though, Scooter, you'd have to ask Hank Green or somebody else that knows something about facts. Okay, well, it's an interesting question to ask. I mean, I don't know if the world has that many Afghans. Is that what they're called? That's what my mom called it. But I think it's kind of like it's a lattice blanket. I don't think that's a good name for it because you say, ooh, I can't wait to get wrapped up in that lattice blanket. So it's drying off, or technically it's becoming a different solid, but wait a second, something strange is happening with this Afghan. Mortimer, can you tell me, can you explain to me what is happening? Well, Scooter, you're in for a rare thing because there just happens to be some sort of, something concentrating the energy of the sun in a strange, unexplainable way. That is causing even more energy to land on that Afghan. And the electrons and the nuclei of the atoms have not, none of them are connected anymore. And right before your eyes, that Afghan is becoming a plasma Afghan. Because all the electrons and nuclei of the atoms are separating. Okay, that's interesting. Who's going to tell mom about that one? Because I think she's going to wonder if she comes to visit, like, Where's that red, white, and blue Afghan that I gave you? And should I just tell her it became a plasma because of some strange experiment we were doing within? How about this one, Mortimer? I mean, since you may be one of those silent observers until we came up with this TV show or radio program, whatever you want to call it, I saw your facial expression there. How come with me, like you'd say with most people, really can't have a thought experiment go terribly wrong, but with me, you say, sorry, Mom, your Afghan was lost in a thought experiment, and it became a plasma, and I don't know what happened after that, but I may have inhaled. What would happen if I inhaled a plasma to Afghan? And what if I sneezed it out when my mom was visiting? Okay, Mortimer, why don't we go on to the next segment, because I can see I have you stumped. Well, thanks, Scooter. This one's a little bit of a transition segment. It comes in from Jeannie, who said, I just nodded off when you said the word sublimation. And Jeannie said they put photos on items that have a polymer coating. And that process is called sublimation. And that it's a very cool process. That is cool. And so that's taking a solid and turning it into a gas with a photo. I guess that's interesting. We're going to have to learn more about that because it doesn't seem like you know any more about it, Mortimer. No, Scooter, that was just a little transitory fact that you weren't supposed to ask too many questions about and just appreciate. Yeah, I don't know. I just always find myself curious. But, oh boy, do we have a lot to be fun stuff to be curious about next, right, Mortimer? Scooter, let me try one thing. Let's pretend that was a commercial, and we're coming. Yeah, welcome back to our last segment of Matter Matters, hosted, by the way, by Mortimer, with our guest, dearest Scooter, or Drew. Oh, thanks, Mortimer. Yeah, I did notice I didn't point it out because I didn't want to interrupt you, but yeah, you can call me Drew or dearest Scooter. It's fine. Or Scooter, or Drew. Just don't call me Plasma Brain. Okay. Okay, Drew, thank you for that. And our next message came in from Steven. Ian, you're right, Scooter. This is really where we're going to get into the deep stuff, and it really seems exciting and a real learning opportunity for you. Steven is a chemistry teacher at a local community college. And, of course, your misuse of states of matter, Scooter, you were really doing poor Steven a disservice. Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you have a gibbledygook on the brain. But, I apologize to Steven, but now is my chance to make it up to him by learning. So, G.I. Joe said, knowing is half the battle. And, Scooter, yes, NBC tells you the more you know. So, yeah, let's do some learning. Okay, so Stephen wanted to point out, first of all, that sublime is to turn a solid into a gas, directly into a gas. And deposition is the term for turning a gas directly into a solid. Scooter, what are your thoughts on that? Thanks, Mortimer. You know, I really, I hear some people say, I don't think I learned what sublime was. For some reason, you know, I consider myself having a reasonable vocabulary as a child and a high school student. And I think I always assumed what sublime meant. But then when I never connected the word sublime and its usage to states of matter. Until someone was talking about someone else's thoughts, a third party's thoughts, and they were saying how sublime their discussions were with this person. And I was finding myself very jealous that they weren't describing my thought process as sublime. Okay, Scooter, this sounds very in character. Okay, yeah. But so, when they were saying it, I think they were talking about a philosophical discussion. Wouldn't it seem you're doing, if you're sublime, are you, I guess I get confused. And this might just be because of the way my brain works, in all honesty, and not trying to be funny or argumentative. But if you're having a discussion with someone and they're transmitting thoughts to you about philosophy or theology, and they make a point that seems sublime. Is it ethereal? Like, so is, are they taking something like ethereal and making it into something solid and understandable? Or are they pointing out things that should be solid and understandable in the everyday world and making them ethereal, like gas-like? Is this, I don't know if ethereal is the right word. And since you're in my brain, you're probably, Scooter, you're right. I believe you may be using that word correctly. So that's where I get mixed up with sublime. So, but going with Stephen's definition, it would be taking something solid and making it. So I guess it would be like, man, when I have a regular everyday conversation with this person, it turns into something deep and magical or beyond explanation. Scooter, I think you're on to something, but I can't get any deeper than that. And deposition is interesting because I don't know if that is the original usage of that word, since it's also a legal term. In my case, it's like turning the hot air from my mouth into solid problems, turning a gas directly into a solid, deposition. Yeah, Scooter, that's a nice word. And you learn something new every day. Well, now it's time to really go deep, because the next thing Stephen talks about is non-Newtonian fluid, a subtype of liquids. Scooter incorrectly attributed its properties to plasma. This is a catch-all for all oddly behaving fluids, such as go-yuck or your elephant glue, but they are still technically liquids. Well, I'd like to learn more about that. Well, let's head over to Wikipedia and let's find out more then. And Scooter, I think this is probably going to be, this may be your favorite moment of the podcast of all time, is going through this Wikipedia article. Well, I can't wait to try to paraphrase it and quote it directly straight from Wikipedia.org. Who I support, non-Newtonian fluid is a fluid that does not follow Newton's laws of viscosity. Most commonly, the viscosity, the measure of a fluid's ability to resist a gradual deformation by shear or tensile stresses of non-Newtonian fluids, is dependent on the shear rate or shear rate history. Some non-Newtonian fluids with shear independent viscosity, however, still exhibit normal stress differences or other non-Newtonian behavior. Here's where it gets even better for you, Scooter. Many salt solutions and molten polymers are non-Newtonian fluids. And there's many, these are a lot of things you've put in your mouth before, Scooter, even ones that you should, are commonly found substances such as ketchup, custard, toothpaste, starch suspensions, honey, paint, frog saliva, and shampoo. Okay, tell me more. In a Newtonian fluid, the relation between shear stress and shear rate is linear. Passing through the origin, the constant of proportionality being the coefficient of viscosity. In a non-Newtonian fluid, the relation between shear stress and shear rate is different. The fluid can even exhibit time-dependent viscosity. Therefore, a constant coefficient of viscosity cannot be defined. Okay, I'll be honest, I'm not sure I totally understand. Can we dig deeper? Sure we can, Scooter. Some comparisons here on Wikipedia. Comparisons of non-Newtonian, Newtonian, and viscoelastic properties. So viscoelastic it would be Kelvin material, Maxwell material. There's a parallel linear combination of elastic and viscous effects, which would be some lubricants, whipped cream, and silly putty. Okay, so there's viscoelastic. What about time-dependent viscosity? Well, Scooter, there's rheopectin, which is apparent viscosity, which increases with the duration of stress, which could be printer ink or gypsum paste. And then there's thixopectin, Sixotropic. Sixotropic. Can you spell that for anybody who plays, what's that game? Words with Friends or Scrabble? Because it seems like a great word. Sure, Scooter. Thixotropic, T-H-I-X-O-T-R-O-P-I-C, thixotropic. Can you use it in a sentence? I may be able to in a second, Scooter. Apparent viscosity of thixotropic material decreases with the duration of stress, thixotropic. And do you have any examples of thixotropic materials that I've had? Yogurt, peanut butter, xanthan gum solutions, aqueous iron oxide gels, gelatin gels, pectin gels, hydrogenated castor oil, some clays, molten tire rubber, many paints, flock suspensions, and colloidal suspensions. You love when it says colloidal on trucks, Scooter. I do, especially when it has molten on there, too. Okay, Scooter, let's move on to non-Newtonian viscosity. There's shear thinning or pseudoplastic, which apparent viscosity decreases with increased stress. Oh, that's interesting. So that's different than the time-dependent ones that have to do with the duration of stress. This has to do with the level of stress. What's one of those? Suspension of cornstarch and water would be one, Scooter. Oh, yeah, we use that all the time. But that was sheer thickening, not pseudoplastic. That was a dilatant, something. Oh, you're right, Scooter. The sheer thinning also viscosity decreases with increased stress. But that would be things like nail polish, whipped cream, ketchup, molasses, syrups, paper pulp and water, latex paint, ice, some silicone oils, some silicone coatings, and sand and water. Oh, yeah, sheer thinning. That's a big deal. And yeah, okay. Generalized Newtonian fluids. Viscosity is constant, Scooter. Stress depends on normal shear strain rates and the pressure applied on it. And that would be custard and water. Okay, can we talk a little bit more about some of these? Sure, Scooter. Let's talk about shear thickening fluid or a dilatant fluid, Scooter. Appears to increase when the shear rate increases. Cornstarch dissolved in water is a common example. When stirred slowly, it looks milky. When stirred vigorously, it looks like a viscous liquid. Oh, yeah, and you always want to stir it before. That makes sense because you want to stir it before you add it to the sauce. I would have never known that. That's very interesting. Thanks, Newton. And then there's sheer thinning fluid, which is the opposite. A pseudoplastic fluid is like a wall paint. It should flow readily off the brush when it's being applied to a surface, but not drip excessively. Okay, I don't know if I quite understand that. So it should flow like a fluid, but not a drip. Okay, so it should be thin, but not watery. Okay, I think I almost get that one. What about Bingham plastic? Well, those are fluids that have a linear shear stress, shear strain relationship. And require a finite yield stress before they begin to flow. And those examples would be clay suspensions, toothpaste, mayonnaise. Like toothpaste, I guess you have to squeeze. Mayonnaise, you could squeeze or scoop. Chocolate and mustard. That makes sense, kind of, I guess. What about rheopectic or antithixotropic, THI? XOTROPIC, and you can also use anti-dash. I don't know if you can use dashes in, because I have dyslexia, so I can't play Words with Friends or Scrabble. But I can help you score more points. Anti-thixotropic. These are also fluids whose strain rate is a function of time. Fluids require a gradually increasing shear stress to maintain a constant strain rate, and that's rheopectic. An opposite case of this fluid is one that thins out with time and requires a decreasing stress to maintain a constant rate. And here's some examples. I don't know from what, soap solutions, cosmetic toothpaste. What about taffy? What about Oblek, Oblek D, Oblek Da is an example of a non-Newtonian fluid, a suspension of starch in water, or magic mud, which is one part water to 1.5 to 2 parts cornstarch. The name Oblek is actually from the Dr. Seuss book, Bartholomew and the Oblek. And I think people do it, there's a picture of it on a speaker. So it's also used in demonstrations that exhibit its unusual behavior. A person may walk in a large tub of Oblek without sinking, or Oblek. Yeah, I have an oblong brain, so maybe that's missing us up, without sinking due to its sheer thickening properties, as long as a person moves quickly enough to provide enough force with each step to cause the thickening. Also, if it's placed in a large subwoofer driven at a sufficiently high volume, it will sink and form standing waves in response to low-frequency sound waves from the speaker. If a person were to push on a heart on a Oblek, it would thicken and act as a solid. After the push, though, it would go back to its thin liquid-like state. Cool, I've encountered mud like that before. Scooter, what about flubber? Well, that's imaginary, Mortimer. Well, flubber is also a non-Newtonian fluid made from different glues and borax. Wait, you can make flubber from borax and glue? I got to get some more borax. I was just at the Paramount, and they had borax in the bathrooms there. Well, that's a great, Scooter, and the combination of the fluid-like and solid-like power properties make it a Maxwell fluid, and it can be called viscoplastic or gelatinous. You know what's another one, Scooter, is a chilled caramel topping, so long as it incorporates hydrocolloids like carrageenan, and gelingum. The sudden application of force or the rapidly inverting of the container causes it to behave like a solid. That is the sheer thickening property of this non-Newtonian fluid. More gentle treatment, such as slowly inserting a spoon, will leave it in its liquid state. Silly putty is a silicone polymer-based suspension which will flow, bounce, or break depending on the strain rate. And there's other ones, Scooter, but we should probably move on. You're right, we should move on, because there's more learning yet to do. But I thought I was the one learning. Well, yeah, but we're working as a team. Yeah, we're working as a team, because I've learned already that matter really does matter. And yeah, you encounter it in tons of places in your life. So let's see, where are we going? Steven says, states of matter, solid, liquid, and gas, and plasma. Matter heated to the point that not even atoms can hold themselves together, just like we had talked about previously. All molecular bonds break and the atoms begin shedding charged particles. This gives plasma an electrical field, which causes it drastically different properties to normal gases. So, Scooter, you might have almost been right when you were talking about that circular Tesla globe. Yeah, what does Wikipedia have to say, like, for examples? Scooter, let's talk about the history first, because it comes from the ancient Greek, meaning moldable substance or jelly. And very simply, the nuclei are suspended in a movable sea of electrons. And it was first identified in a Crookes tube, as described by Sir William Crookes in 1879. He called it radiant matter. The nature of this cathode ray matter was subsequently identified by British physicist Sir J.J. Thompson in 1897. The term plasma was coined by Irving Langmuir in 1928. And as we said, and as has been said, plasma is a state of matter in which ionized gaseous substance becomes highly electrically conductive to the point that long-range electrical and magnetic fields dominate the behavior of the matter. Plasma does not naturally, Scooter, this is important, it doesn't naturally exist on the Earth's surface under normal conditions. And must be artificially generated from neutral gases. Cool. Do we have any other examples? Scooter, this is pretty dense. But we do have a couple lists here that you might be able to use here. Common plasmas include artificial ones, terrestrial ones, and space and astrophysical plasmas. Okay, can we start with space then? Sure, Scooter. Stars are plasmas heated by nuclear fusion, the solar wind, the interplanetary medium, the space between planets, the interstellar medium, the space between star systems, the intergalactic medium, space between galaxies, the Io Jupiter flux tube, accretion disks, and interstellar nebula. I'd like to, Mortimer, what do you think about calling me the intergalactic medium? Scooter, I would rate you as a medium in a lot of things, but intergalactic, you're intergalactically medium. Okay, I wasn't talking about a rating. I was talking more about a nickname or matters where... nothing is intergalactically medium. Scooter, why don't you think about that? But I'm not sure. What would an intergalactic medium do? I guess, I'd share, traits. Like, I have a plasma brain. So does the intergalactic medium. Why don't we move on to terrestrial plasmas? Lightning, the magnetosphere contains the plasma surrounding Earth's space environment, the ionosphere, the plasmasphere, the polar aurora, the polar wind, upper atmospheric lightning, sprites, and St. Elmo's fire, Scooter. Yeah, and I won't make any jokes about that movie or comments on it, but I did. It was on TV, I think not over the holidays, when I was in a hotel, maybe for the day before I went to PodCon, I was watching it on a hotel TV. Well, that's a movie, but there's the terrestrial plasma St. Elmo's fire is something different. But artificially produced plasma, Scooter, they involve those in plasma display TVs, fluorescent lamps and neon signs, rocket exhaust and ion thrusters. If I was an intergalactic medium, ion thruster could be my sidekick. Mortimer, what do you think about changing your name to ion thruster? Some other examples, Scooter, the area in front of a spacecraft's heat shield during reentry, inside the corona discharge of an ozone generator, fusion energy research, the electrical arc and arc lamp, an arc welder or a plasma torch, a plasma ball, which is also called a plasma globe, or in Scooter's case, a Tesla ball. Also, the arcs produced by Tesla coils. Plasma is used in semiconductor device fabrication. Laser-produced plasma is also known as LPP. Are you down with LPP, Mortimer? What was I going to call you? My ionosphere? If we, I know you're in my brain, so we couldn't, you're my ion thruster. You could say, they could be also your thing, ion thrust. So it could be your also in, you could span the galaxies, talking about matter. Scooter's a couple more on the list. There's inductively coupled plasmas and magnetically induced plasmas, and static electric sparks. Okay, so you don't want to be ion thruster. But isn't there one or two more cool things we learned from Stephen? Yeah, Stephen also talked about supercritical fluid, Scooter, which is certain temperatures and pressures given compounds at equilibrium between gas and liquid will find that the density of the gas state and liquid state become equal to each other. The liquid and the gas will then stop being separate things and mix together, creating a new substance with interesting new properties. Some are very useful. Supercritical CO2 will pass right through coffee beans and dissolve caffeine, creating decaf coffee and isolating caffeine crystals for soda. Oh, so that's probably how they take make a cola. Any other examples on Wikipedia? That's pretty good. That's a lot, like pretty good information. Okay, Scooter, we're looking here. Hydrothermal circulation, which occurs in the Earth's crust, wherever fluid becomes heated and begins to convect. These fluids are thought to reach supercritical conditions under a number of different settings. At mid-ocean ridges, circulation is most evidenced by the appearance of hydrothermal vents known as black smokers, which vent fluids up to 400 degrees Celsius. There's planetary atmospheres. The atmosphere of Venus is 96.5% carbon dioxide and 3.5% nitrogen. I knew that because I'm a galactic medium. The surface pressure is 9.3 MPa, 93 bar. And the surface temperature is 735 degrees Kelvin, above the critical points of both major constituents, making the surface atmosphere supercritical fluid. Scooter, did you know that some dry cleaning uses supercritical carbon dioxide, which intercalates into buttons and can help improve, help clean? Oh, is that like OxyClean? Or is that, oh, I guess we probably shouldn't, but I already said it. I like that in my dish soap. Okay, Scooter. And it looks like we have one more thing we needed to cover. But there's a lot more about these supercritical fluids that maybe your brain could absorb over the next 20 or 30 years. Yeah, I like this one, the Bose-Einstein condensate. It was a new state of matter discovered by quantum physicists. It has freaky properties that defy common sense. For a long time, we didn't know any more than the first three. So what is taught at major elementary schools. Oh, this is kind of like why they only taught you about the first thing. Let's like learn a little bit more about Bose-Einstein condensates. It's a state of matter of a dilute gas and bosons, B-O-S-O-N-S, cooled to temperatures very close to absolute zero. Under such conditions, a large fraction of the bosons occupy the lowest quantum state, at which point microscopic quantum phenomena, particularly wave function interference, become apparent. BEC is formed by cooling gas of extremely low density. The Scooter, this may be another experiment they could do on your brain. Thanks, Mortimer. That sounds great. Does it involve me sticking my head into a matter accelerator? Because that sounds a little cold. I'm not sure I'd be interested. Okay, Scooter, if you want to hold science back, that's fine. It was first predicted generally in 1924-25 by Satendra Nath Bose and Albert Einstein. So it is only a theoretical state of matter. Satendra Nath Bose sent a paper to Einstein on the quantum physics of light quanta, now called photons, in which he derived Planck's quantum radiation law, without any reference to classical physics, and Einstein was impressed. And they went from there, and a lot of this article talks about the critical temperature, different models, and it has a lot of, you see a lot of formulas in there. So, and I guess if it's theoretical, then we wouldn't have any, there's been some experimental observations in the 1930s, and from Onward, even more recently in 1995. People are really looking hard and working hard into it. And vortices can exist in BECs, and they can be created by stirring the condensate with lasers or rotating the confining trap. And the vortices created will be a quantum vortex, Scooter. Is that what we could use in time travel, or is that just, Scooter, I think you better just stick to, maybe you should stick to three states of matter, and then just know that plasma is maybe plasma's the limits of your, well, it's good to know these other things. It is interesting. And it reminds me that what made this podcast is being curious, and I was curious to talk to you to find out more of why matter matters, and I'm glad the listener's curiosity drove them to reach out to me. But really learning the non-Newtonian fluids, really interesting, because that's actually what I assumed was a plasma, was goop. And so I now kind of know that, and I do know, and I'll never forget, that matter matters. It does, Scooter. And I want to make sure we thank, once again, Amber, Jeannie, and Steven for reaching out to support the show and to help fill you in. And we'll always remember here that matter matters. Thanks and good night. I want to thank everybody who supports the show on Patreon. Maria, Brian, and Lauren. Thanks and good night. Karen with a K. With K.A., Meredith and Julie, thanks and good night. Megan, Paul, and Patricia, thanks and good night. Marianne, Stephen with a P, and Janet, thank you, thanks and good night. Leslie, Margie, and Samuel, thanks and good night. Helene, Janelle, and Sarah, thanks and good night. Andy, our good friend Cindy and Jackie, thanks and good night. Mike, Danielle, and Julie D, thanks and good night. Lucy with a C, Jeff with a G, and Jeffrey with a J, thanks and good night. Susan B, Olivia, and Sarah B, thank you, thanks and good night. Lindsay, S. Andrew, and Karen, thanks and good night. James, Lawrence, and Mordecai, thanks and good night. Wendy, Huto, and Elizabeth, thank you, thanks and good night. Sonia, Anissa, and Sarah H, thank you, thanks and good night. Angel, Lexi, and Italy, thanks and good night. Stephen, Emily, and Rebecca, thank you, thanks and good night. Ariel, Mary with an I, and Lynn, thanks and good night. Savannah, Laura, and Stephanie, thank you, thanks and good night. Kim, Erica, and Sonia, thank you, thanks and good night. Ayana, Jackie, and Virginia, thanks and good night. Jed, Susie, and Andrea, thank you, thanks and good night. Matt, Ray, and Tyrone, thanks and good night. Usama, AP and Misha, thanks and good night. J. Thomas, Patricia, and Robert, thanks and good night. Lisa, Matthew, and Mary, thanks and good night. Kate, Megan, and Frank, thank you, thanks and good night. And Tori, Martin, Becky, thank you. Thanks everybody for supporting the show, and good night. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed, too. Now, I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, an all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelik's, we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. That's cool. That's something we're looking forward to doing. And, that was episode 1 of that. That was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, a recurring thing. Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support, but if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, or and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback. Feedback at sleepinmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.